Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
We do have our pastor on the line who is going to be giving us some perspective for our conversation for today, our Ask a Pastor segment for today. Let's see if I have the pastor on the line. Funis, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Pastor, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Ah, lovely. Good afternoon to you, my pastor. How are you?
We are fine, and how are you?
I am very well. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I'm realizing that we are coming to the end of the week now, and we have had a very good time, you and I, before the week closes and before networks are against us. I just want to say thank you very much, Mfundisi, for coming through and talking to us. Today is not our last day. Tomorrow is our last day, but I've been having a very enlightening time with you, and I really appreciate you for that, Mfundisi.
It's a great pleasure also to have this interaction with you and our listeners.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to be having our question for today. And our question for today, I thought, was rather interesting in that it would be good if we were to expand more on it for a longer period. But right now, let's just ask this one. Is it wrong to question the authority of senior pastors or church elders?
Thank you. In the first place, from an African context,
right,
it is not.
Okay.
Because in the African setup, someone who is older than you, someone who is senior to you,
right,
is always right, or is always considered to be right.
Yes.
So when you stand up to say, Pastor, why are you doing that? Why should we continue doing this? Why can't we use another method?
Right,
You look like you have got no respect.
Absolutely.
But when we look at the global scale, the global community, and the act of, when you look at the real leadership, a true leader is not afraid to be questioned.
Yes.
A true leader is not afraid for the followers to question the status quo.
Yes.
Why can't we do things the other way around?
Yes.
Why can't we continue doing this? So from an African context, it's not. But when you look at leadership, even those other Africans who say, well, we have to come to the modern terms of reality, that even young ones have got something to contribute,
right,
and at times even something better to contribute.
Mm.
They are not afraid to have their authority
right
questioned.
Right.
Of course, put my head on the line to say people want to question what I believe in.
Yeah.
To ask me to justify this and that. I'm not afraid of that. With a few places that I have stayed, I think I've stayed in 9 countries.
Right.
I've interacted with people differently, and I've seen also some people reacting. How can a person young as you are talk like that?
Right, right.
I remember one example. Madiba was one time, we should be in Indonesia, and then a young journalist, a lady, asked her, so what are your plans for marriage? And Madiba said, no, a girl of your age cannot ask an old man of my age that question.
Right.
So President Mandela was reacting like a typical African,
right,
that
right,
you don't question the elders or
right
people who are older than you.
Right,
but that
right
is the old time life.
Okay, I hear the angle that you are answering from, Pastor. I want us to attack it from the angle of Korah and Dathan. The story of Korah and Dathan is a very strange story in the context of your thinking and my thinking. I agree with you. Korah and Dathan, they challenge the authority of Moses, wondering, are you the only one that God can speak through? We saw God reacting violently by causing Moses to separate Israel. Those who were with Korah and those who were with him. And those who were with Korah, the Bible says the ground opened up beneath them and swallowed them alive. Why? Because
yes,
they challenged the authority of Moses. Example number 2 is the example of the 2 siblings of Moses. Moses is the younger. He's younger than Miriam. He's younger than Aaron. And Miriam and Aaron, they gossip about Moses. Is Moses the only one who God can speak through? And God gets upset, calls all three of them, and causes the woman. Not the man. Both of them were gossiping. But he causes the woman to have leprosy. Up until Aaron says, Moses, please, baby brother, come on. Please talk to your God for us. And then Moses goes and pleads on Miriam's behalf. And Moses is told by God, take her out. And she must be separated for a short space of time. And then she'll be whole again. Now, these two examples that I'm citing for you are examples where the authority of Moses was questioned. First, by his own siblings, Aaron and Miriam. And secondly, by Korah and Dathan and their followers. How do you respond to God's response to that?
Thank you. There's a thin line between challenging an authority and also rebelling against an authority.
Okay.
When I challenge your authority, when you question someone's authority,
right?
I take it that, if I say I come to you, why are you working in this office?
Right.
In other words, I'm saying you are not fit to be in this office.
Okay.
It's different if I come and say, but why are you doing things in this way?
Right, right.
Those people, Korah and Dathan, talk about Miriam and Aaron.
Right.
They knew God had called this person,
right,
called
right,
Moses.
Right.
God had given Moses, had shown the whole Israel and even the Egyptians that God's hand was there through the miracles he performed and the likes.
Right.
So when Dathan and Korah comes, and even Miriam and Aaron, the one they are challenging now, the one they are questioning actually, is God who appointed him.
Okay.
Is God who appointed him. It's different from you to say, okay, Pastor, why have we always done this? Why
right.
can't we do this as
right.
an SDHH?
Right.
And then it's also different if you say, but who gave you to be my pastor here?
Right.
Can't we lead ourselves on our own here?
Right.
That is different. That now becomes rebellion.
Right.
You are saying, I don't want this authority that God has put in place.
Right.
And also we need to take care, we need to put in remembrance that God takes us according to the amount of knowledge that we have.
Right.
You remember the story of Gideon?
Yes.
When God revealed himself, Gideon said, no, I want to believe that you are the one who has done this. I'll do this. Tomorrow he says, I'll do this. And God is watching over him.
Mm.
But when the husband to Elizabeth, now we find in Luke there, when Zachariah says, how shall I know that my wife will have a child? Because of the amount of knowledge that he had about God and to question God's prophets, he was punished there and then. While Gideon, asking the same question, was let scot-free.
Right.
So the amount of knowledge that we have, the amount of light that we have,
okay,
we are also responsible for it. So when you talk about questioning the authority, challenging the authority,
right,
the way we challenge also matters. It was not only Korah and Dathan, it was not only Miriam and others who challenged Moses, but how they did it.
Right.
God comes now to stand in this place because the one they were challenging actually is God. They say, we don't believe. Actually, we say, we don't accept that it's God who put you there.
Okay.
So meaning the one they don't accept is God himself.
Right.
You remember Samuel, it was the same.
Yeah.
People said, no, we want to be ruled by like another.
We want a king.
We want to be ruled by a king.
Right.
Yes. And when Samuel was not happy with that, God says, it's not you whom they have rejected, it's
right.
me.
Right, right.
They have rejected. Who appointed you to be there?
Mm. Mm. So let's come back and apply it now to our pastors. There are
yes.
times when you look at the behavior of a pastor and, for example, we had a conversation, you and I, about pastors who walk away from the ministry. And you and I agreed
Yes.
that if you were called by God, if you claim at least to be called by God and you walk away, then we wonder if you really were called, because you can't be called and walk away. That was our agreement, that you said there is no way you can be called by God and you walk away. If you walk away, then it causes us to wonder. Now, on that application, are we wrong to challenge that person's authority when they say, "I'm a pastor," and say, "No, you're not a pastor if you are walking away from the ministry. You're going now to become a journalist, and yet you say we were called. You walk away voluntarily. The church wants you." And when you say, "No, I want to
Yes.
go make money. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a business person, or I want to be some dumb journalist." No, you're not a pastor. You were never called. When? No. You were. So in that case, Mpunis, are we not wrong to undermine or to question that person's authority as a pastor if they have walked away?
In the first place, we need to know that God knows better than all of us.
Absolutely.
Because even when someone makes a decision, as human beings, we may see the surface part of it,
Right.
but God understands what is deeper than that. So we may position ourselves such actually we become judges, that we become judge to this person, which is not within our power. If
Right.
this person was called by God, whatever we term, let God deal with him. With him or with the situation. Because
Right.
even if you stood up to say, no, it means you are not called by God, this and that, even if you told someone in the face like that, the question that, what are you going to achieve?
Right.
Apart from causing that tension between you and that person, you may not solve anything. But
Right.
if this is God's work, let the owner of the work respond to that situation himself. Because as a
Right.
human being, in most cases, we overreact.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say if someone leaves the work, then we stand up now and say, no. That means you are called, you are this and that. Yeah, we may have that at the back of our minds, but now to stand up in arms to say, no. How do you become a journalist today? Yesterday you were this and that.
Right.
No, we are saying no to that. I think it may be too much for us.
Final example, Mfundis. At church, you have a disagreement. There's one side that says, "No, we must do things this way." Another side says, "No, let's do things that way." And then the pastor or the elder stands up and says, "No, the Lord said we must do it this way." Can we? Are we allowed to say, "I, oh, wait, what?" God
No,
said
we are
what
allowed.
to who? I mean, when people say, "We want to vote in Fundis, we want to vote," and yet you as a pastor said, "No, the Lord told me must go this way." Are we challenging the pastors? Is that not us challenging the authority of the pastor?
We are allowed to do that. Actually, there are several times when you are saying, I almost listed the moments in the meetings where you bring a proposal as a pastor, a very good proposal,
Yes.
and then you discuss it, you debate it, and people say, no, I think it's a good idea, but we can't implement it now. Or it is put to a vote, and you lose out. And that's what leadership is. When others won, I won at one time, others lost. So you take it that, no, this is not personal in the first place. I'm a pastor here, so it's not personal. So even when you raise your hand to put an argument, you are putting that because of your position in the church, and you are also talking to me because of my position. If there was another pastor, you could have said the same because you are talking about the position. So I think in leadership that is very
Even
critical.
if you had
But
said,
when
"The
you
Lord
take
said, we must do this," even if people are
yes,
saying, "No, we
you
won't go that way," even if you're saying, "The Lord sent you to do that," is that not undermining or challenging your authority?
No, like the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15,
Right.
that was dealing with the issue of circumcision.
Right.
It was tense, but at the end of the day, people agreed. You debate, you talk, you debate. Finally, you put the issue to a vote. Okay, this is what we have agreed with this. How many times? No wonder our church, you have got the voting pattern.
Right.
You have got 25 people that are voting. 20 people say yes. 5 people say no,
Right.
and you follow the you follow what the majority have said.
Yes.
Even when you are presenting the issue, in the, whether it's a business meeting, and I was one of the five who were saying no.
Yeah.
When we go to the business meeting, I'll be supporting that what the 20 said. So no, this is what we agreed upon.
Yeah.
I will not even say no. Some of us were thinking no.
Yeah.
We are now moving in this direction.
Yeah.
Because we have got collective responsibility.
Yeah.
And then you are also showing maturity.
Yay. Hi, Mfundis. Yeah, Ndukuvile. I got you. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a wonderful day, Father Mfundis.
It's always a pleasure. God bless you. God bless our listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundis. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
All right. That's how we end our conversation for today with a good pastor. And our question for today, is it wrong to question the authority of senior pastors and church elders? If you were to ask me, I was going to ask, well, what about juniors? Are you saying it's okay to... Why are you asking only about senior pastors and senior elders? What about junior pastors?
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.